The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive, and my goodness, what is that outside? That is sunshine. It's first time in a while we have started the show without rain. And we got some more overnight and early this morning, but for the most part, it's been cloudy, but then the sun has peeked out a few times, and now it's back out now. And, you know, it looks like we might have a pretty rain-free weekend. There's some more headed before long, but not a terrific chance of rain over the weekend. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Get rain during the week and hopefully a chance to dry out a little bit over the weekend. Welcome in, everybody, to the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill here in the studio. Coach Don Dunn usually with us on Fridays, but he's down in Florida somewhere, fishing down in South Florida near the Keys, and he will be back after the 4th of July. Now, I do want to let you know we're a week and a half out, but the Drive going to be taking the week of the 4th off. So starting that Monday, which would be the 29th, through July 3rd, there will be no Drive. We will be, at least my wife and I will be, we'll be taking a little vacation. So looking forward to that and coming back after that. So Don is out for a few weeks. We will be off in a couple of weeks. We'll have the show all next week. And then we will take off for a week. So Don's not here today. We have a special return today, but it's Friday. It's happened a couple of times before. The one and only Dan Peck is going to be joining me here for a reprise, and he'll get to say something. He'll get to say farewell, I guess, to a lot of folks. You probably read his comments there on social media, and some really nice things that he had to say about everybody here at the Auburn Network. But Dan definitely will be missed. But we're missing him right now. He sent a note a little bit ago and said he's on his way, but he's stuck in traffic. So Dan will be joining us here because he has the day off from his new job. We'll let him tell you about that and much more. And we'd love for you to join in. You know, you can sort of wish him the best. I mean, it's not like he's going to be that far away. He'll just be less than an hour away over in Montgomery. But Dan will be in here in just a few minutes. In the meantime, we can update you on a couple of things going on. The U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills, Wyndham Clark, who had a tremendous opening round of 64, 6 under par, is finished today at 1 under 69, and he is 7 under and has a 4-shot lead over Matt Fitzpatrick, Xander Schauffele, Sam Stevens, and Rory McIlroy. Some pretty good scores being put up today. Schauffele, a 4 under 66 today to get him to 3 under. I didn't mention Max Gracerman is also at 3 under after a 69 today. Colin Morikawa, 5 under 65 today after an opening round of 3 over. So he is 2 under four players. Is it 4 or 5 players? Colin Morikawa, Harry Higgs, Sam Burns, Ben James are all at 2 under. And then a big group. It's not really a big group. It's only 4 at 1 under. So you have 15 or 14 players make it that are under par, which is a little surprising. As you know, we've talked about the history there at Shinnecock Hills. Only 3 golfers ever have finished the U.S. Open under par at Shinnecock Hills. But again, this is just this is Friday. There's still the weekend left to play. As far as the locals, good day thus far for Jackson Coivin in his final amateur event. He is one under on the day, through he is on seven, so he's got a chance to move up a little more, and he is one over for the tournament. So Jackson Coivin right now tied for 24th in a 15-way tie for 24th. But still, I mean, he is right there, within striking distance of just about everybody. It is crazy to see Wyndham Clark at 7-under, and then it drops all the way back to 3-under. So you've got 38 golfers within four strokes of each other there from second to 39th. But Jackson Coivin, yes, one of those golfers there, and he is one over on the tournament. And again, 12 holes still left to play. Auburn's other rep, Logan Riley, really, really tough day yesterday at 9 over. He's even on the day through 5, so he's still at 9 over. The projected cut as of a while ago was plus 5. So, that might be a possibility, but it sure looks like Jackson Coivin, if he can handle the last 12 holes there, and there's no reason to think that he won't, should be able to make the cut. Meanwhile, in the World Cup up in Seattle, the U.S. has blanked Australia 2-0. So the U.S. moving on to the knockout round of the World Cup. So that one is just wrapping up there. So those a couple of the big national stories going on. Other than that, there is not a ton of big sports news going on in the world of sports. But it is Father's Day weekend, and something we've had fun with in the past, and we definitely can do that again. We'd love to hear some stories, some sports memories with your dad. So if you have some of those, any memories, sports memories with your dad, we'd love for you to join us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. That, anything you want to talk about sports-wise here on this Friday edition of The Drive. I tell you what, I see Dan pulling into the parking lot. We'll go ahead and get to our first break early, and then it'll be Bill and Dan one more time here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
The Drive, Cameron, on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday edition of The Drive. No Coach Don Dunn today, but look who has made it into the studio. Is it just like a reflex? It's getting close to 4 o'clock, and your car just drives back over here.
I was able to find the place, no problem. After working here for 9 years and then leaving 3 weeks ago, and I did sort of wonder if it was too soon, right? I mean, Simon and Garfunkel didn't get back together 3 weeks after.
Yeah, but you didn't. I mean, you didn't get an opportunity to really talk about what you were doing. I mean, I hope most people have read your post. Really, really nice things to say.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah. I meant every word of it, and I did want to extend my gratitude to a lot of different people who had contributed to me just enjoying the 9 years I got to spend co-hosting this show, and I encourage folks to continue to listen. Yeah, I am. I'm doing news on WVAS in Montgomery, the voice of Alabama State, 90.7, and I'm doing news updates a couple times a day in the afternoons. We're still figuring out, like, once the academic year comes along and the sports seasons pick up, like what changes there might be to my role. But right now, I'm spending a lot of the day helping the news director,
gathering
with her
news, yeah, getting it ready, and then so I mean, when can folks? I mean, do you have regular spots?
Yeah, so it's during this show, as a matter of fact. So it's
that's
the news
that's
updates.
What it was. Well, yeah. I knew when you first went over.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a couple of minutes into, and I want people to listen to the drive, consume it however you can. I'm on. We do a national NPR update at 4 o'clock. And then I go on right after that for a couple of minutes, and I do that twice a day right now, 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock. I help the news director with the noon and the 3 o'clock newscasts as well. Writing some copy for her and gathering audio that she can add to her stories, and then I'm out during the day.
What kinds of things have you gotten to go cover?
I've interviewed I interviewed a congressman like on day two, Shamari Figures, which was really cool. And I've been covering a lot of the different sports success, the Troy Trojans obviously going to the College World Series. I've been in touch with my pals from out there, Kyle and Barry and Jerry and everyone who talked to Adam a little bit. I have not talked to them about the cameras getting stolen from the bus, but I know all of those because a lot of the same people do women's basketball. I know those folks, and it's just like I can't imagine opening that compartment on the bus and realizing that someone had jimmied it open and stole, walked away with five figures in camera equipment. But no, it's been cool to talk about whether it's politics or getting to meet with different people from the city about, we're obviously community oriented, so it's if the city of Montgomery has something going on, we'll talk with someone from the council or someone from Montgomery Parks and Recreation about events that they're throwing, or the Montgomery Zoo. Juneteenth is today. We've talked with people from the EJI.
That's why you're available.
Today. University's closed today on Juneteenth.
Lots of state and federal offices and places are closed.
And a tremendously important day in Montgomery, absolutely, too. I mean, the home of the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. So, like, to have the different EJI sites, in the city. And I talked with the director, Brian Stevenson, of the Equal Justice Initiative. And so it's been a lot of fun so far, sort of bouncing between. And even, like, stuff that's off the beaten path. Obsession is this hit movie right now, and it's directed by a 26-year-old from Alabama, Curry Barker. And so I got to talk with some people who knew him, and I'm working on getting an interview with him, with him personally. Ella Langley, right? It's crazy to me. Like, there's a country singer from just under, just south of Montgomery, went to Auburn, and she's had
huge.
Choosing Texas has been the number one song for 30 weeks or something on the country charts. So yeah, getting to cover a couple other stories has been a lot of fun. But I'm still going to try to stay sports oriented and as much as I can and cover.
Yeah,
Auburn
it's
University
hard to
athletes.
Imagine you completely separating yourself from sports.
Yeah, and I guess the way I think of it too is like if you're reporting news in the Montgomery area, the Montgomery region, like while Alabama State is going to be front and center when they're in the news, we're going to cover it.
Sure,
but you'd think that people in the area are also interested in Auburn University athletics and Troy University athletics and for that matter, Alabama.
Oh, absolutely.
Athletics.
No question about it, in the capital city.
So I'm going to be paying attention to a lot of that as well. And maybe even staying in touch here on the show. We'll see how things work. But
that would be cool.
My Fridays are pretty wide open. So it'd be cool to get this get to do this pretty routinely.
Oh, that would be great. Well, it's great to have you back here in the studio today. Again, it is Juneteenth, so a lot of places closed. A lot of folks getting the opportunity to have a little bit of a long weekend this weekend. We'd love for you to join us though here on the drive, 334-321-1390.
And that's something and I mentioned it in the farewell message and said it on my final episode. But getting to talk with callers, getting to interact with people who listen to the show or who called in, like that was it added so much to my experience here and can't express enough like how thankful I am to not just for the folks who are a big part of the, you know, the staff here at Auburn Network, but the folks who listened and called in and made the show what it is and allowed us to keep doing it, right?
Because question. I don't think it would have survived if we didn't have callers.
And you know, you can't really send a message without someone receiving it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like it's great to this is a two-way process, and really appreciative of folks who listened and continue to listen to the show.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, give us a call today. Don't know when Dan will be back, but I was selfishly, all right, I wanted today, since I don't know the next opportunity we'll have, especially for an extended period of time, for you to maybe reminisce a little bit about some of the more memorable times that you or we have had. I mean, covering games, you know, being mm-hmm. at games, things like that. I mean, just some thoughts there, and obviously I'd like our listeners to get involved there too. But I was mentioning a little while ago, look, it's Father's Day weekend, and we've done this a few times. Love to hear from you if you have some memories, with your with dad at sporting events. So we're wide open. Again, we can talk about anything you'd like. Let's see, not a lot of local sports news here. We mentioned Jackson Coyven having a good day today at the U.S. Open. One over yesterday, two over yesterday, and that's not bad at all there at Shinnecock Hills. But he's one under today at last check, and one over, which easily puts him in the projected under the projected cut line, which is now at plus four. So Jackson's plus one as he was playing seven just a little while ago.
It's great to have a story like Jackson Coyven to cover right now too, because I mean this you know, people call it Mount Rushmore season, mm-hmm. right? People, you know, it's sports movie talk season, because once, especially around here, like once college baseball season ends, once that season is over, your college
athletic season is pretty much done.
Yeah, and you're waiting for the start of the new seasons, mm-hmm. and especially the football season, and like this is, you know, the period where you don't have results from last night to cover, or results,
right.
you know, of a game that's happening,
or something, or a game, or you know, match coming up here in the next few days.
Exactly,
there's nothing. I mean, we do have. You've got the College World Series final with a surprising Oklahoma Sooners team taking on North Carolina starting tonight, and that'll pretty much wrap up the college season.
And you do have the World Cup sort of, I think capturing the attention of
World Cup and U.S. Open this weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else there is.
And that's why when the World Cup was moved, and I know they had to do it for safety reasons, but when the World Cup was moved to the fall 4 years ago, and it's like it blows this big hole.
Way too many things going on at one time and not enough at the other.
In the summertime. And instead you've got like, what feels like it's a perfect, you know, next couple of weeks for the World Cup to be front and center. Mm-hmm. America wins today, likely headed to the round of 32. Maybe they've clinched.
I think they did. I think they clinched.
They have a chance. But I think they're.
But they needed to win today.
Yeah, America will be in the round of 32. Yes. It's just where they will finish in the group stage. Mexico clinched the group stage win last night. So, and I believe because Mexico won the group, how about this, Bill? The next three, I believe, in the round of 32, the round of 16, and the round of 8, all three of those games will be in Mexico.
Wow.
So they will be playing.
Yeah, that is huge.
They will
that
be playing
huge for them.
They'll be playing at home with a chance to maybe make a deep run in this tournament. The last the semifinals and the finals are played at big American stadiums, mm-hmm. but Mexico has the inside track to maybe win a couple of games in this thing and shake things up. I think once you get into that single elimination tournament stage, the games featuring the United States team are just going to be. I mean, they're going to be really, really big events. Plan your day around, you know, where you're going to be for the United States team in those events. And yeah, it's been a really fun tournament so far. Like it's been really cool to see. I was on the fence about 48 teams, and was it going to water it down? Was it going to be? And I think, you know, for now at least, the novelty of having all these teams in three different sites, you know, three different countries hosting, it's been
just here on this continent.
Yeah, yes. The energy has been the energy has been really fun so far, and the way different fan bases have embrace the moment. I keep seeing Scotland highlights on social media, the Tartan Army singing. They have a song they sing to the tune of "Achy Breaky Heart" about their captain. I'll play a clip during the break. But yeah, and your guys, your boys in Brazil are in action. I think they've got Haiti later today in the tournament. So yeah, World Cup's been a lot of fun during a period where you don't have.
Yeah, it's a great time.
You don't have a ton of college athletics to talk about. You still have the Men's College World Series.
Yeah, that's going what I on, said. But I mean, it'll be done. You know, it'll be done in just a few days by the end of the weekend.
Who you got?
Man, Oklahoma is hot right now. It's hard to pick against them.
Wouldn't have been one of the first 15 teams said maybe when they revealed the draw. Like if I'd like who's winning it all? I don't think you're saying Oklahoma, but now it's like, boy, I mean
they are. It's funny when we were talking with Jason and Adam, they both said the same thing that Butch Thompson had said. This is a team that is very similar to an Auburn team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had young pitchers that are really coming on now, and people were questioning their offense early. Not now. Yep. They are really, really hitting the ball. All right, 334-321-1390. Let's get to the drive hotline before we head to the bottom of the hour. And Brian is up first. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. The old team's back together again.
Yeah, that's right. One more time.
The Sunshine Boys reuniting.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to talk about other than to say, Dan, Bill, I love you. I love you both. Dan, I got to give you credit because I really didn't know about y'all till you got on Justin Jaffer's podcast and, looked you guys up and then started listening to you. But it wasn't really till you joined Justin that I knew about the drive and this afternoon delightfulness that is my new passion. But, good luck to you. Hope you're able to get on whenever you're able to. But you guys are a great team, and it's going to be missed.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing this at times for – golly, over 20 years.
It was Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, I was appearing on the drive starting in like this. I mean, okay.
Dan started out producing, running the board when it was Andy and me.
Yeah.
It?
I mean, you go back to summer 04 is when I, as an Auburn student, is when they start letting me appear on the air. I think that's right around the ESPN reality show. That's right around the time of the ESPN reality show where I was an alternate on the search for a Sports Center anchor show as a college student. They took
and they really messed up. I mean, looking back at it, I mean, would Dan not be? I mean, he would be world known.
I was
world renowned.
I was 18. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I was just going to say, I'll definitely miss the movie quotes because you are a movie guy like
he
I am.
He is the movie guy.
I'm seeing Disclosure Day with Adam Cole like 5 minutes after the show tonight. as a matter of fact, that's not stopping even with the new job. But Brian, thank you so much for some very kind words there. I appreciate it.
Yeah, just one last thing. Drew needs to get on the air more and talk with you. Bill, he's I've talked to him. He's capable of talking.
He is.
I agree. He's watched the show for long enough. I mean,
and then the other thing was I think Drew could fact check me. I'll let you go after this, but I think 1952, I think they said on the broadcast, was the last time the USA had won two openers for the World Cup.
Wow.
Okay.
Man.
America hasn't been 2-0 to start a World Cup since the 50s. I mean, that sounds right.
Yeah,
I mean, I did not realize.
I mean, thinking about a group stage has gone in my life. Like, yeah, that sounds about right. But that is,
that's a long time.
Uh-huh, it's a long time.
Anyways, best of luck to you. Happy Father's Day to you both. Be good.
I appreciate it, Brian.
Are you a dad?
I'm not. I'm
not to your knowledge.
No, yeah. I mean, oh boy, Brian was about to drop a bombshell at the end of that.
Really?
At the end of that call. Well, a lot's changed. A lot's changed in the last month. for me. But you know what? Echoing Brian, because you know you don't want to assume. But it's happy Father's Day to everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
To everybody out there. And and you mentioned like memories of sports with your dad. I mean, it's the first thing that comes to mind, and I feel like if we called him, the first thing that would come to mind for him too. And there are little league moments. There's there's stuff that we got to watch on TV together and things like that. But it's going to the Braves game the night Fulton County Stadium caught fire.
Oh God, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, go into the Fred McGriff game. You know, as part of a big trip to Atlanta. He'd just gotten a big promotion in the military. I think we knew there was a long absence that came along with it. And so it's like we got a week together in Atlanta, and we're trying to do Six Flags and maybe the zoo or the aquarium stuff.
Six Flags, Whitewater, the zoo,
exactly,
and
a couple of Braves games, and one of them was Fred McGriff's Hall of Famer Fred McGriff's first game as an Atlanta Brave, and the stadium was it a Sterno can, I think it was, like the catering dishes. It was something. You know, caught a tablecloth, and it turned a catering room into a big fire, nearly burned the press box down, and they delayed the game for a couple hours. And I just remember, like, it's already July heat, MLB trade deadline, July heat in Atlanta, and then you had a fire.
Yeah.
On top of it, it was sweltering. We did not make the entire game. Because we were so thoroughly dehydrated.
Yeah.
And then the Braves make a big comeback, and my dad swears that they show, like, they do a crowd shot, and it's like a full stadium except four empty seats. Like, they zoom in, and
your seats.
And it's maybe even like, I think he tells the story, it was like a home run ball goes flying, and it bounces in the empty seats or something. Like, I don't know. I can't verify all of that, but we were at the game. So always, you know, that's a memory we're going to have.
No question.
And it's also, it's a lesson for, like, again, I'm in no position to give parents advice, but to remember, like, even the plans that don't, like, even when it doesn't go according to plan, you could be
memorable. It could be an all-time memory.
You could be making a really formulative memory. So, like, even, you know, don't get discouraged if
everything doesn't go the way you'd plan.
Exactly. Remember that, because I'm sitting here 25, 35 years later and remembering a game that very well could have been a disaster. Right? We could have said let's go home, or oh, this is miserable. Made the best of it, and it's, you know, one of the first things I think about when I think about spending time with my dad.
All right, we'd love for you to join in again. You don't have to. We're not playing Can You Top This? You don't have to try to top that. Just sports memories with your dad. Anything on your mind, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Bill, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan. Yes, it is Bill and Dan again today. And let's get right to the drive hotline.
One night only?
I don't know. It's TBD.
That's right. I'm still figuring out the schedule at the new job, but it does seem like, again, not to make any promise or anything, it does seem like I could make Fridays work.
That would be great.
On occasion. Even if it's like a phoner in the second hour. I know you got the coach, but I'd love to be a part of the show on Fridays.
All right. Let's get back to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey guys, I was gonna
Bill.
Call in. It's great to hear you back, Dan. I really missed you on the radio, and that's not to, you know, anything bad about the, you know, people who filled in for you. They've done a great job there. But I remember when I moved down here, when I retired and moved down here from Atlanta, and I found this show on the, I think somebody at the university told me about it. Hey, there's two guys on the radio. They talk Auburn sports all the time, so that's how I found it. But my favorite Dan Peck memories, and he knows where I'm going with this. if you've listened to this show and you missed after the game,
absolutely legendary.
And Dan, this was, and it wasn't some of the buffoonery that went on with some of the callers. Dan, you had a great ability to set the And good radio guys can do this. They can set the stage for when you're listening to it, it's like you're there. You know, Kaywood Ledford could do that. Al Serraldo at Georgia Tech, so could obviously Larry Munson at Georgia. But, and this, we're talking about a radio show, not a game, but you still had the ability. When you came on the air, I could just see the confetti in your hair and sitting there at the, with the kids and, you know, the people putting drinks on your which I think really happened one time on your
yes,
your equipment. And it was just like I was there. And that's the to me, that's a gift not every radio guy can do. And you had that. And I get today, to this day, I got guys from Atlanta that call me. When's that guy coming back on there with that radio show? And they said, well, he's moved on to more prosperous things. But it's great to hear you again. And on the places I called you from, on those road trips, I think, yeah, it was just really great. And like I said, if you can make it one day a week, that's great. You know, but I just wanted to let you know I really enjoyed your time here on the radio. And you have a great radio voice, and I hope you can stay in the business because you're good at it.
Thanks so much, Bill. I always appreciated your calls. I knew that I needed to, when I acknowledged everybody at Auburn Network and my time here, on social media, I knew I needed to mention after the game. I had special acknowledgement for Scott Bagwell. Wouldn't have been able to do that show without him. Drew was a huge part of that as well. And then we had you know, guys like Painter and Michael and, you know, people who were willing to step in and co-host it with me as well. But like, yeah, that show was, I mean, it's a big reason why I was hired in the first place, was the promise that, yeah, that I was going to be able to do after the game. And mm-hmm, you know, we had some sponsors that were really, the Skybar, wouldn't have done after the game without the Skybar guys as well. Everybody there, the staff, and how about this, the staff and the employees, because they really helped us out too, setting up and, you know, there had to be security guards nearby to keep everything in line. And sometimes, you know, it would, sometimes the excitement of a big win would spill over. Sometimes the frustration, yes, of a bad loss, yeah, would, you know, Scott and I still think about, I want to say it's the loss to Tennessee in 18 when they hadn't won an SEC game in like 3 years. And they come to Jordan-Hare and win. And, I mean, you've got, like, you know, callers are, like, somebody's family member in the background is, like, begging the caller to calm down. It's like, remember your blood pressure, Jim. Like, remember your, like, please, remember what the doctor said. Like, and he's like, that's the sort of, it was, yeah, the authenticity that would that would be presented there.
There's,
like,
there's nothing more real than post-game, live post-game shows.
Sure, and hopefully, you know, I would say that I feel like over the last couple of years, maybe the losing, you know, took some of that edge off of the post-game at Auburn, and the way you fix that is by getting back to winning, to where you win enough and the losses start to hurt like they used to. And I'm optimistic that Alex Golish can restore the order and get Auburn back to some of that good old feeling.
Well, again, like I said, Dan, I hope it's not the last time we're here. I hope you can make it back from time to time, and I wish you the best in your future endeavors there in Montgomery. And like I said, whether it be after the game or just listening to the show day in and day out, and you know, Bill, you do a great job too. You guys are a good, great team, because Bill, you're the hometown guy. You've been there forever, and Dan's a little bit more worldly, I guess we could say.
Oh, yes, yeah, there's no question.
And his travels with, as I did too. I was a military kid, and we moved years, and you know, you're just all over the place. But anyway, it's great to hear you again, Dan, and I hope you can get back when you can.
Good hearing from you, Bill. Yeah,
thank you so much, appreciate Bill. Really do mean that. I appreciate that a lot.
334-321-1390, and Philly Fanatic is up next.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Philly.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you. I wish you all the best, and I know you're going to make – we'll probably see you on this, ESPN sometime.
Yeah, I have to worry about, you know, how I guess I'm going to work on my on-camera because there's talk of some of that there at WVAS too, and trying to use me a little bit more in front of the camera. But I really do, Philly. You're one of my favorite callers, and I always the different perspective. We never knew what you were going to want to talk about. It was interesting most of the time.
Yeah, and
most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You're interesting. All
excellent batting average.
I have something that I have in common with you. I was consulting with this company downtown. We were at the Marriott Marquis, and we were drinking, watching TV, and we saw the fire at the game, and it was really interesting because this company I work with, they had access to the Ted Turner Lounge where you got buffet and the tickets, and that actually was where the fire was.
Wow.
So it was interesting. So we finally said, oh, there's going to be a game, so we shot down there to get there. And our seats were really close to where the fire was, and we were inebriated when we got there. And you could smell the smoke still there. It was incredible. And so we saw the game. I don't know why. It could have been 2 a.m. All I know, it was late when they got in there. it was certainly an incredible night. But my best memories are with my dad going to the Phillies games at the old Connie Mack Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And that stadium was, listen to this, it was built in 1907. It was the first baseball stadium that was made out of iron and steel. Before that, they were made out of wood, and occasionally they would burn down.
Right.
And so holding up the roof were these big beams. So I went one time with the scouts, called Cub Scouts. My father was with me. We sat behind the beam, couldn't even see the game. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you see those pictures. I mean, I love the pictures of the early days of Major League Baseball. And yeah, I mean, it was not uncommon at all. I mean, that's the way all the stadiums were built. I didn't realize that Connie Mack was the first that was built out of iron and steel. But yeah, I mean, there were plenty of people that had to either look around or move to be able to see the field.
Well, it was Baker Stadium then. It wasn't until after Connie Mack had won so many championships in the Athletics, and then they moved out, I guess, out there to Oakland.
Well, he was there 50 years.
Yeah, and so Connie Mack's family, they got together to make the stadium for the Phillies because they weren't even there then, and they changed it to Connie Mack after him. And I don't remember what that was. That was probably in the 50s, 60s. I didn't even remember.
And Ebbets Field, now Ebbets Field replaced a field that had burned down. And I think that was also made of, it's maybe right around the same time period, but I know that's also, like, Ebbets Field was made of.
Oh, it had those girders.
Yeah, it was steel. Yes. It was steel, and maybe it was stone. Maybe it wasn't iron. But I know that they replaced a field that had, Washington Park had burned down, and they decided to build the new field out of a different material.
It's interesting. After that, I think the Phillies every 25 or 30 years, just like every other team, get a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there would be some company or somebody with a large amount of money and some person that owned the stadium and the city. They put together $1 billion or some incredible amount of money to build these stadiums, which there are now. But I actually went to Turner Field, right, when it was the Olympics were there. And they had to redo it when the Braves took over. And I was at the first Braves game that was there against the Yankees. It was just an exhibition. And Ted Turner was walking around, and we got to say hi and shake his hands because he evidently had never been in the stadium, and he wanted to walk around to see what was going. But I had some great memories. Well, before that was Fulton County Stadium. Mm-hmm. Remember I told you that $5, there wasn't anybody.
Sit anywhere. Come sit behind home plate.
Yeah, you got right behind the dugout, man. And we were watching Chief Nakahoma. That was the big thing. But whenever he started dancing, we started drinking. All right, Dan, I'll miss you, and I wish you all the best. And I know you'll do it. Whatever they want you to do, you'll do it. You're a professional.
Appreciate it, Philly. Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one here momentarily.
Turner Field, by the way, still looking great as Center Park. Georgia State has retrofitted it into a football stadium, and it is, I mean, it is very nice. I've been to a handful of Sunbelt football stadiums, and they've got something really cool going there in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm glad they were able to do that. Yeah. Really, really, really good. Yeah,
you'd hate to see, like, after the Braves leave, you'd hate for that thing to sit. Like, it's a 20-something-year-old stadium. You'd hate to think that you got to knock it down, and you'd hate for it to sit vacant and become. Because you've seen some stadiums that you know get abandoned, and it's bad for the local area, like it's bad for the stadium itself, and yeah, it's great that they've been able to avoid that and turn Turner Field into something that gets quite a bit of use.
Love to hear from you here on the Friday Drive. Again, if you've got some sports memories with your dad, with Father's Day coming up on Sunday, anything on your mind as we continue with the Friday Drive.
The Drive with a Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan. Yes, Dan back in this afternoon. Hopefully that's not the last time, but it's good to have him back in here today. Let's see, a little Auburn football is hoping to get another commitment added tonight. James Pace, defensive end, rush end, edge guy. From another Maryland product, he out of Dematha, teammate of the Auburn's last commitment. Now we've had lots of discussions about how to pronounce Auburn's last commitment. I've heard Kinyer,
okay,
but then it's Kinyair, so I believe. Jason and Adam and I were calling him Nair because KN sort of could be a knight, but I'm not really sure. So we'll have to find that out. But he's a safety who committed on Wednesday, and James Pace, who is a four-star recruit and a teammate of his from Dematha, is making his announcement at 7:30 tonight.
I'm going to make a prediction that it's Nair. I'm going to look at that and think that it's. I think that that's what's going on there with the first name.
That's what we were thinking. Yeah. But I mean, I really don't know. So, but anyway, Auburn on a roll. They've got 19 commitments. Alex Golish and his staff due to this point.
Dematha too is like. I mean, that's one of
one of the all time.
Yeah.
Football powerhouses.
It's like the Bishop Gorman of Washington D.C. Yep. Like that place produces monster college football talent every single year, and Auburn continues to do well in the DMV. In the Baltimore, D.C., Virginia,
DJ Durkin,
yes,
had tremendous contacts there, and continues to use those. Now he's not the only Auburn staffer who is going in there, but I mean he's the first name usually these players mention.
And I'm not, I'm obviously Alex Golish and his staff deserve a ton of the credit here. I feel like this started because Freeze and his guys had really recruited D.C. at Liberty, and then you bring in. DJ Durkin, who had been the head coach at Maryland, and between that 1-2 punch, I mean, Auburn signed several prominent.
Oh, no kidding!
DC,
yes, three or four, yes.
DC and Baltimore area kids under the previous staff, and it seems to only be building.
It's sort of like the pipeline Auburn had years ago at Dillard in Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. Once those kids come in, enjoy their time, and have success. Then other kids want to follow.
There was talk that I was thinking about Matt Stafford opening a pipeline from Texas to Georgia, where it's like there really weren't that many Texas kids pre-Stafford on the Georgia Bulldogs, and then after Matt Stafford went and had his career, suddenly you saw more kids from the greater Dallas area consider going and playing in Athens and for Auburn. Yeah, it feels like maybe whether it's Bobble Woodby. Right, who's a
Juice Diaz.
I mean the different D.C. area kids that are
D linemen.
What about Asante? Right, Eugene Asante, who maybe gets some of that started. Right, I mean you've got several of those guys that were Baltimore or D.C. or suburban Norfolk, Newport News, like those, and there's a lot of really good high school football. Played in those areas, so it's especially if you can have the inside track compared to other teams in the league. it makes sense to go in there and get what you can. And Auburn has done very well in that part of the country.
Yeah, so we'll find out tonight. Colorado was his last visit, and they really made a push, but I think Auburn still feels really good about getting the number four prospect out of the state of Maryland in James Pace. All right, we're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. Got another hour to go. Love for you to join us. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Come on in.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It's been an afternoon without rain, which is a change here in the Auburn area for this week at least. And enjoy it, and maybe we'll have a weekend without rain or without much rain. Looks like that's a good possibility. So welcome in, final hour of the week, and we have a special return appearance today from Dan Peck, who has been my sidekick for quite a while. And I will say, I can't deny you've made it a whole lot easier for me many, many times. I mean, the two of us. I mean, we could one of us can actually look at something else for a little bit while the other one goes. It's a little more difficult now without Dan here on a regular basis. But great to have you back in this afternoon, Dan.
Bill, thanks for that, and thanks for everything. And yeah, really, really happy that I can make some time to come back. And as I said, you know, not to invite myself over or anything, but would be
the door's open.
Yeah, would be happy, especially on Fridays, to be able to do it a little bit more routinely. And
I don't know if the code's going to work anymore.
No, the code does not work, actually.
Oh, man.
Ferg and I tried
to... That is quick. That's yeah. Cold.
Yeah. Ferg and I tried to sneak in and record a podcast and found out that it doesn't work. But that's... And again, Auburn Network went above and beyond for me in my time here, too. But it's been great to be able to come back, and it's great to hear from the listeners and see everybody here at Auburn Network, and happy that I'm and I am still staying in the Auburn area.
Oh yeah,
that's the other thing too.
Yeah, you're still around.
I'll still be around, and yeah, just nothing but fond memories of my time, you know, here and on the radio in Auburn over the last couple of decades.
And look, you are not, you're by far not the only person who lives in this area and works in Montgomery.
Sure.
I was doing it decades ago. But I mean, there are quite a few people that do.
In fact, that was a bit of an issue yesterday for me as I...
Yeah, that's right. Yesterday morning. At least you didn't have to be on. You didn't have to be on the air.
No, everybody was understanding at the new job. But Drew, I went to start the car yesterday, and the battery was dead. So I had to call the new bosses and explain what was going on, and make a visit to our pals at Franklin, who got me into work before my lunch break. Which, you know, for a dead battery is pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, you're right. Especially, I mean, considering it was around 10, before you got it in there.
That's right, and it was I'm headed to Montgomery mm-hmm. with it. So yeah, really, you know, getting by with a little help from my friends. Bill was there ready to jumpstart the engine, and Franklin was ready to get me all set.
Yeah, so it's great to have Dan in. In case you're just joining us. Dan's got a gig in Montgomery with WVAS, the voice of Alabama State, 90.7, doing news.
Yeah, doing some afternoon news, doing some local stories. Going to be working with the athletic department some, I think, when the seasons get going. So yeah, excited about my new role at WVAS and everything that could be on the horizon at my My new job.
As we mentioned in the first hour, we'd love for you to join in. You know, it is Father's Day weekend. Father's Day coming up on Sunday. If you've got some sports memories with your dad, or if you want to just chat with Dan, because who knows the next opportunity that you may have. I don't think you're taking calls on the news. So this is a great opportunity.
We do not open the phones up when I'm doing the afternoon news. No,
I hope not. That'd be pretty interesting. All right, let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. 334-321-1390.
That's a job where callers indicate that you're maybe not doing a good job, right?
Yeah,
like doing sports talk radio, when the calls are flying in, it's usually a good thing. When you're doing the afternoon news and the phone lines light up.
I don't thank goodness I can't relate to that. Rick, save us, man. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. You guys, I wanted to fill you in on my trip to New York City.
Cool.
Okay. We left here about 5:30 Wednesday.
Yeah. Tell Dan. I don't think Dan heard this story. I think he's been gone since you told us what was going on.
All right. So Dan, when my son was about 11 or so, he was a huge Knicks fan, Carmelo Anthony, all that. And I promised him if the Knicks ever won it all, I would take him to the parade. Well, you know, they won, so I had to keep my promise. And so we were going to drive because I thought it was going to be on Tuesday. So my plan was to leave like last Sunday, 9 a.m. And I was so happy when I woke up and saw it was Thursday. And so what I did is I bought his plane tickets. We flew to Baltimore.
Wow.
We had a car waiting for him. We rented a car. And we drove up to West Orange, New Jersey, and because a friend of mine here in Auburn is from there, and he told me you got to go to this pizza place, and it'll change your life, and this and that, and you'll see mafia guys and all this, and I did see the mafia guys, but it didn't change my life really, but it was fun.
You better forget what they look like real quick. That's my advice.
They look like guys in Goodfellas. Okay, so anyway, but the pizza was great. And then we got up really early yesterday, and we took the train from Jersey to Lower Manhattan. Actually, Penn Station, I'm sure some of you know, it's right underneath Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. And so we came out there, and like I'm saying, we were there at 7. But by 6:30, all of the viewing areas were closed.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, we were hanging out with a couple and 2.5 million people. And it was quite the scene, but then, you know, we kind of resigned to the fact we weren't going to be able to see the parade itself, but we were in the environment and our atmosphere. And so we were actually kind of down towards Battery Park where it all started, and we were eating breakfast outside. And I said, hey, let's just start walking down there, Jake, you know, we'll kill some time. And it worked out so well because we got there and they lifted the barricade. So we were able to see right the very beginning of the parade, and it was something to see, you know, I mean, you know how New York City is, and I hadn't been there for 60 years, probably. I think I was 6 the last time I went there, but my son had been, so he knew how to navigate in that. And, it was, you know, there were great things and not so great. Like, one of the not so great is that they just didn't have the room for everybody that wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, everybody rolled with it. people on trucks, fire trucks and this and that, and cops roaming around saying, go home. It'll be better if everybody goes home. And a lot of people did leave, but we were able to see it. And then maybe the highlight of the day for me, I've seen my son glow. You know, I forgot it was Father's Day weekend, so that was kind of like a great thing for me to do.
Yeah,
with him.
No kidding.
But I wanted a bar, okay? And so we found this little Irish pub, and we went in, and we have new best friends up there, okay? And it was just a really great time, and we drove back to Baltimore last night. Had a great restaurant in our hotel, so we didn't have to go anywhere. And then we got on our flight this morning, and I'm back in Auburn.
That's fantastic.
And so he has a great dad story forever. I mean, the fact that you held up your bargain from decades ago.
Well, I mean, what else could I do? But I'm glad I did, and I always intended to. But I also told him, as he's telling me all these guys are coming back for the next 2 years, I'm like, well, I'm not coming back, okay? This was a one-time thing, and he's like, yeah, I figured that.
Even if they defend the title, you will not be at the... You know what, but if they...
Oh, win, hell no, I won't go back up there for that.
If they, you know what, if they win it again next year, it'll be special, but it won't be this. Right, like, you know, right. Waiting 60 years... nearly to between championships.
Yeah,
I mean it's fantastic, and that's awesome that you guys were able to be there.
Well, I remember we jumped in a cab, and I go, hey, can you get me up by like the city hall? And this guy's like, man, I'll try. And so $35 later. Yeah.
That's like when you when on Auburn game day when you ask your Uber driver to take you to the stadium. Right. So he's like, good luck with that.
Yeah. So just imagine an Auburn game day with twice as many people, but like for a long, like, you know, like I said, they say about 2.5 million are there, mm-hmm. and I believe it. But I'm really glad I went. It was like a once in a lifetime experience for him and for me. And you know, one of our new best friends that's trying to get my son to go out there. He actually lives right across from Madison Square Garden. He's like, and this guy's like 50-something. Hey, you come up here, buddy. I'll hook you up, man. I mean, I know the women. I know this and that. My son's like, man, Dad, I'm going. But anyway, I go, I'm not paying now. Anyway, but it just that guy had just lost his dad like a couple months ago. And when he heard our story, you know, he pulled my son aside. And Jake said, man, he even cried a little bit, Dad. Like, you know, this is so awesome your dad did this. You know, just don't ever forget this. But he won't. And then one last thing before I get off.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, okay? They're everywhere. Because I don't have a Knicks shirt. I'm not a big Knicks guy. But I'm an Auburn guy, and so I was wearing a T-shirt from 2019 Final Four. And I'm sitting at an outdoor thing eating breakfast, and I get some Roll Tides from people in that crowd. They're everywhere, that's all I'll say. But I wanted to tell you the story because I told you the other day I was going. And it really it was worth all the effort put out. It really was.
Right? Well, that's great. That's a great story, Rick. I'm glad you guys were able to do it, and it sounded like you had a great time.
I mean, I did, and there are things I will tell you next time I see you. But it was a great in and out trip.
Yeah, I
hear you. So you guys have a great Father's Day weekend.
All right, good hearing from you, Rick. Talking to Rick reminds me, he's a big, big baseball guy out there in the K corner. Auburn added another player from the transfer portal, a left-handed pitcher from Cal Davis, who was a freshman this past year and had an ERA of 3.37, struck out 43 batters in 40 innings. Now he's lefty, so you know they can be a little wild. He did walk 37, so that's something that he's got to work on, but that's three pitchers that Auburn's added through the portal. And saw our buddy Brian Matthews had a little update, Baseball Insider today, and he reports that Auburn right now it looks like they're going to be able to retain the core of all these young players that they wanted to retain, that they have all agreed to deals with Auburn. That sounds funny to be saying that, but I mean, that's what you've got. And most of them are signed, including Chase Frelick, Bob Terrell, Mason McCrane, Brandon McCrane, Ethan Bingaman, Eddie Madrigal, Andres Alvarez, Jake Marciano, Jackson Sanders, and LJ Cormier. Also a couple of other players that are returning, Cade Ballou and Griffin Graves. So, I mean, what a great nucleus.
Yeah.
Auburn has returning for next year. And I've said this, Dan, we've been talking a little bit here over the last week or so about, you know, looking toward the 2026-27 athletic year. And baseball's got to be among the programs that you feel really have a legit shot to contend for national honors.
Oh, I don't know right now an Auburn program closer to the top of the nation, right? When you're talking about like
men's golf, even without Jackson Koivin, is going to be very, very, very good.
I think losing Jackson sort of throws it into doubt a little bit, but you're right. A lot of the key pieces are there for the reigning national champion men's golf team, but absent maybe men's golf,
right?
It's like Auburn baseball looks to be as close to the cream of the crop as anyone in. As any program we've got going right now,
it's hard to imagine them not being a preseason top five team.
Right, and when you return as much as Auburn will seemingly return from a team that won as much as Auburn did, and I know there's folks that wanted the postseason to go differently. Although I would stress like making any substantial change because super regionals didn't go your way.
Mm-hmm.
You might be forgetting that you made it to Super Regionals, right?
For the second straight year, you get to host a Super Regional.
And that's
it's tough when you haven't won a game in those Super Regionals.
Don't.
There's nobody else in the country that has hosted back-to-back Super Regionals.
Don't overreact. Don't underreact to these sorts of things. Like, if the offense is, if the offense becomes consistently a problem, like maybe you do talk about, the direction of the program and stuff like that, but... No, I'm excited to and I'll tell you the other thing about you make a big change now. Like, do you know that all those players
are coming back?
Are back? No, like all those
right.
hitters that
you're
you know so
right.
so I would I think that seeing where this goes, like seeing what could maybe happen with as many returning players as Auburn should have next year. It's very, very exciting times for Auburn baseball.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Have you got any sports memories with your dad? Father's Day, of course, coming up on Sunday. Dan's with us for the rest of the show today. So if you haven't had a chance to holler at him, give us a call here on the Friday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN.
More yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan, that's right, folks. Bill and Dan, it's not a rerun. We had wondered what happened to the portrait. That's really that's a very good picture.
That's a good picture of me, yeah.
It is. That really is.
That's the jacket.
That's the one you need to use for anything.
Bill, that's the jacket.
Well, that's the one you got at Ridiculous at a steel price.
That's the clearance jacket I got right before Scott's wedding. Scott Cameron's wedding that I've kept as a navy blue blazer for events and things. But no, big shout out to everybody at Auburn Network for all the time I was able to spend here and being patient with me in that. And you know what? I didn't mention in my farewell a couple of weeks ago, I did not mention Steve Witten by name, and I regret that because Steve has been a really, really big part of my employment here. I shouted out like staff and leadership,
right.
And in the social media message, I singled out Steve, but in the on-air farewell, I really didn't mean to say that Steve Witten was really important on the air, gave excellent advice off the air, and was an excellent
he's a pretty good guy,
excellent boss to have here at Auburn Network.
Oh, absolutely! We've been watching the World Cup here. Of course, the U.S. winning today 2-0. So and we had a caller a while ago said since the 50s, it's the first time since the U.S.'s first appearance
this is amazing.
In the World Cup in 1930 that they won their first two matches.
That's amazing to think that America has gone that long without back-to-back wins to open a World Cup. But this is it's a new generation, and Auburn, America now advancing to the knockout stage. We were just talking off the air about the soccer game at Jordan-Hare Stadium, the one Auburn hosted. You were there.
Yeah, what a
scene, right?
It really was. Well, the whole day was a crazy scene because we had the monsoon while we were on the air, and then by a little after 6 o'clock, it had stopped. And they did an amazing job over at Jordan-Hare Stadium just getting everything cleaned up and trying to get the field as dry as they could. And the field looked great. The atmosphere was tremendous. I mean, it was so different. And I thought Auburn did a great job, and I think have really set themselves up well to be able to host who knows whatever kind of events they could there at Jordan-Hare.
I wonder if you can get the right teams involved. I wonder if an annual soccer game could be something you pull off at Jordan-Hare Stadium in the summertime. I mean, I think that, you know, it's not always like maybe it was a perfect storm earlier this year of you've got USA hosting the World Cup and you've got Messi in town.
You've got the defending World Cup champs with the greatest player.
Yeah, there's a lot of sort of factors at play, but I think if you were to get, I mean, just spitballing, I threw this out there on the Observer podcast, but like if you were to try to do like the men's national team against South Korea or the men's national team against, I mean, I think you could pick a handful of nations. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be America. I mean, it could be two teams, but I think the spectacle of the United States men's national team playing a game at Jordan-Hare Stadium against, especially a team with local interest like South, like, I think the box office
wouldn't even have to be the men's national.
It wouldn't. You could try it with. I mean, the women play in major stadiums across the country as well. But I think the thought of if you wanted to make this a tradition, Team USA next summer, I think would be box office.
Oh, yeah.
Like I think that would be if you can try to make it happen. And we'll see if they're interested because it does. I've never seen Bill. I think that's about as crazy as traffic has ever been in my experience at Auburn. Like including,
you're right. You were right about that.
I mean, even including Big Iron Bowls in that, including you know historic moments for Auburn University athletics.
We walked from VCOM because we weren't going to get any closer.
And some of the roads were not moved. Like you weren't getting any closer to the stadium than, you know, Glenn and Dean.
And we know how to get around.
Yes. And it is
in game day traffic.
Yeah. So it was, and again, that's not a criticism of anybody. I think that's just that's a byproduct of the kind of interest that you were talking mm-hmm. about and how many people were probably in Auburn for the first time or were, you know, experiencing an Auburn game day for the first time. And so, yeah, congratulations to everyone associated with Auburn on that event. And it, I mean, think about the, you know, the eyeballs seeing Jordan-Hare Stadium and the social media outreach. It's just like it's a really, really big deal for university athletics and congratulations to them.
And you know, we were hearing that 97% of the televisions in Iceland were on, and I'm thinking Auburn will have some students that'll be matriculating from Iceland here in the near future.
Yeah, let's see.
After all that,
let's see what it does for applications from Iceland.
Yeah.
And Argentina is a pretty big country too. Like, there's a couple
we'll
different.
We'll check with Scott on what financial aid is for the Iceland.
Won't be all that. And that's just two places. Like of the place. I mean, that people all over the world. Messi is, I'm probably the most famous living athlete on the planet. And it's tough to, we talked about what a big deal it was going to be. I don't think until you saw that crowd and some of the scenes around the campus that day,
right?
Like how big of a deal we're talking. And it was,
and how cool
it was
gigantic. How cool was it to be there and see within a minute of him entering the game, him score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and then he goes out and in his first World Cup game, gets a hat trick.
Yeah, the guy's a, I mean, he is magic, and it was on display pretty early on. I think that's something that, like, even if you have a ton of memories in Jordan-Hare Stadium, mm-hmm. seeing Messi score a goal is probably going to be one of those things that you got to say.
There aren't many folks that can talk about their college football stadium and seeing something like that.
No, and especially like amid all the other memories you have, if you've been a fan for any amount of time of Auburn University athletics and the memories that you could have, you know, someday. But like to have, that was a really special moment for everybody who put it together. A lot of folks work behind the scenes. Rhett gets a lot of the credit. You know what I mean? Rhett Hobart was somebody that feels like university administration point, you know, they point to Rhett as a guy who did a ton of the work to, to get that to get that going. Everyone else, you know, in the athletic department and really the university as a whole, Ron Anders, right, and the city of Auburn working. So yeah, I mean, congratulations to all that, because that's like
a lot of an awful lot of planning and work
went
into that,
and it went off
and it came off just beautifully.
And as you said, with the weather, it could have been a disaster.
Oh,
like it could have been it could have gone sideways in any number of ways, and instead, everybody made the best of it, and kind of like with. Fulton County catching fire. It's like sometimes force majeure happens. Sometimes things are out of your control, but you work hard to make the best of it, and you make some really special memories for tens of thousands of people.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Let's looking at Shinnecock Hills.
Yeah.
A couple of bogeys for Jackson Coyvan as he's in the middle holes right now. I believe he's on 11, and he is now one over for the day. So he is at three over here in round two, and it looks like the cut line is staying at four. So Jackson, you know, is under the cut line, but needs to continue playing well here to make the cut at the U.S. Open. Again, Wyndham Clark is lapping the field right now. He is seven under and has a four-stroke lead in the clubhouse. We'll get to our bottom-of-the-hour break. Spectre, hang on. Want to give you plenty of time when we come back for the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 5:35, 25 minutes away from 6 o'clock, and let's get right back to The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Spectre is up next. Hey, Spectre.
Well, hello, Bill. Well, Dan, sounds like you're moving up the ladder, son.
Hey, Spectre. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Yeah, you too. I'm going to miss your insights on the issues. I tell you what, I won't miss the bloviating, though.
I will try to I'll try to gas bag a little bit less because I got a tighter. I only got 4.5 minutes in Montgomery when I do my news break, right? So I got to get to the point.
Well, tell me about that. How do I listen to you?
So I'm on 90.7 WVAS, the voice of Alabama State in Montgomery. It's pretty strong signal. So it gets picked up in the surrounding area. We stream live on the web. WVASFM.org is the website. You can hear it's jazz much of the day. It's an NPR affiliate too. So they'll do some national news and run some NPR content throughout the day. And then right after the NPR national news break at 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock, I jump on and do a couple of minutes of local regional news. That's mostly about the city of Montgomery, but we'll get into as we were saying earlier, when Auburn, Troy, Alabama, you know, when they're in the news, it's gonna merit coverage.
Yeah, so Dan's going out and gathering the news and then doing a couple of newscasts.
Well, is television in your future?
I don't know. I mean, right now I'm happy in my home on the radio. You know, I've been a sort of creature of radio my entire adult life. But, you know, I understand the future's coming, right? And television's this brand new invention that's that more and more people are getting excited about. It doesn't seem like it's a fad. So, you know, might be here for a while. I may have to adjust accordingly, Spectre.
Yeah, well, we're going to miss you. I hope you can find your way back here. You know, for a long time, I thought maybe you were headed to Troy in some aspect. But maybe that's down in the future for you.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what, as far as like once the athletic seasons get going, I'm not sure, you know, exactly what the future holds as far as if I'm going to be able to continue my work with Troy. I love doing Troy women's basketball, and maybe that's going to work out. Maybe Alabama State has a role for me. So there's still some things that you got to stay tuned about with regards to my future, but I do not want to walk away from sports. I love doing play-by-play. Working with Troy has been so rewarding, and that's something that I would hope I can continue to explore even while I do some news too.
Well, you know, maybe WSFA could pick you up. Maybe get Phil Snow's old spot.
Ooh, Bill, you'll.
I wouldn't be surprised, Spector.
I tell you, well, we're going to miss you around here, buddy.
Oh yeah,
I'll put in a call to my. I know Rosie over there, WSFA. I'll mention something to her.
All right, you take care.
Thanks, Spector. Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend, Spector. 334-321-1390. It's getting tight there at the U.S. Open. Another bogey on 11 for Jackson Koivunen, and he is at plus four, and that is the projected cut line. So Jackson needs to try to at least play it even here over the last seven holes. He's on 12 right now. So we'll keep an eye on that. You know, Dan, we've been talking this week. I mean, we've talked a good bit of World Cup and U.S. Open today, and there's the College World Series. We mentioned that with Oklahoma and North Carolina. Then it is really just getting ready and hoping there's not big news, because most big news in the off season is not good news as you head toward the next athletics year.
Right, and there is. I mean, you had the Womack story right in the last in the last couple of days, and hopefully that's just a blip on the radar. I guess not to. Not to work in a choice of words hopefully that's something that comes and goes and doesn't affect his availability for the season in any meaningful way. But you're right. You're in a window where, generally speaking, you hear about a player right now and it's either involving the police or an injury. And you don't really want either of those.
Yeah, the news now is not usually good news unless there. I mean, there are some, you know, just nice background stories on players and things like that. But if it's news, it's usually something that is not going to be good news as you head toward competition.
Although you know, there's a lot of recruiting news in there too, and I do think Alex Golish has done. I think there was something of a question of how this, especially before...
With no proof of concept.
Yes, before he was able to coach a game, how was he going to be able to recruit? How was he going to be able to generate enthusiasm and excitement? And I think some of it is you talk to the guy, and that's the sort of energy he's got, and that's the drive he's got. You know, it's infectious. It's not all that shocking that Alex Golish and his belief in what's going to happen for Auburn football is resonating with recruits that want to believe that something better is on the horizon for Auburn football. And I keep coming back to how many young players in development are on this roster. And that's something that recruits, you know, might think they can be a part of is, okay, I'm going to take, there's going to be a year where, you know, we'll see how much I can contribute. And then after that, I could be ready to have a big role on this team. And I wonder if that's what they've been able to sell to some of the folks that have agreed to come and play for Alex Golish. I think with the promise that they can contribute pretty early in their careers.
And I've been really impressed at how far reaching it has been. I mean, we talked about the Maryland, but I mean Auburn's gone and gotten players from quite a few areas that they don't normally do that. But yes, he's bringing in players who I'm impressed with who the other schools that are recruiting these players are. I mean, the rankings, yes, most of these players are four stars. I think Auburn's got 11 or 12 four stars that are committed. They may not be top 50 players right now, but I would say Alex Golish's track record of being able to spot talent and bring those players in. We're talking with Ferg yesterday, Justin Ferguson from the Observer yesterday, and you know he was talking about Koger, just Jeremiah Koger, when who was a freshman last year at South Florida, was not everybody's All-American coming out of high school, and he's a guy that was statistically one of the better receivers, not just freshman, but one of the better receivers in the nation last year as a true freshman there at South Florida. And I think he and some other of these young players that you see that we saw this spring that came in with Alex Golish and his staff are players that sure look like SEC players. They may not have been as highly touted, but I think that's a very important thing to feel like your coach has a good eye for projecting players and then being able to try to develop them.
Oh, and there were a couple of true freshmen that raised some eyebrows this spring, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Deshaun Spencer is a guy that looks like he might have a role on this team very early in his college football career. And there's, I mean, that's something that is, you know, that's not a guy that every SEC school was clamoring for necessarily. That's somebody they'd been in on at South Florida and realized, okay, maybe he's got the goods and can play major college football at Auburn. I think the eye for talent and the willingness, because you need some of that. While you'd love to go get anyone that you target.
Oh, yes.
We say it all the time. It's not eBay, right? Like, it's not a one-way thing. Like, the players have some say in where they go. And for Auburn, generally speaking, you have to keep in mind that if you're recruiting players in the state of Alabama and Alabama gets in on them, that can be very difficult to overcome. In Georgia, when being able to find guys that not everyone has reached a consensus on quite yet and be first and be active, it's a key to, historically, it's been a key to recruiting success at Auburn, is being able to find guys that are maybe a little bit more under the radar,
right,
than the players that the Alabama players that Alabama wants or the Georgia players that Georgia wants. and for Auburn, it sounds like they've been able to find some, they've been able to win some of those battles, but they've also been able to find some guys that they were first on.
Auburn has won a lot of ball games with recruiting classes that were ranked in the top 10, not necessarily in the top 5, but top 10. I mean, you look throughout history, and Auburn has Auburn's been probably, you know, fourth, fifth in the SEC in recruiting when they have been winning a lot of ball games. And right now, that's where Alex Golish. I think Auburn right now is fourth in the SEC when you look at all the recruiting rankings and team rankings right now. So I think that's very much on par with what has gotten Auburn to its most successful teams and seasons. So that and being able to count on, I think a lot, Auburn. I think so many Auburn fans want to feel like this is getting back to what they feel like Auburn football should be, a hard-nosed, physical, blue-collar, they're going to outwork you kind of team that, sure, if you can get the best player in the country at any position, that's fantastic. But if you don't, you'll find somebody who will work harder and already has enough talent to be able to compete on that same level.
Certainly. I mean, that's the mindset. That's the it's great to win battles for 5 stars, but the ability to find guys that you think can help you and can grow into really productive players, it's something that Auburn's best team, it's a trait that, especially you go into like the last 25 years, mm-hmm. the best Auburn teams of the modern era of college football have been made up of some under-the-radar prospects that made good on, you know, Alabama players that Alabama didn't want.
Right.
Georgia players that Georgia didn't want. I mean, it's
and occasionally a guy that you beat. I mean, you look, Auburn has already beaten Georgia, mm-hmm. The likes of Georgia, Texas, Notre Dame, Penn State for some of the commitments that they have right now. And if you go out and win, then you've got a better chance of getting more of those just blue chip.
Oh yeah,
prospects.
I mean, this is based largely on the momentum that Alex Golish has mm-hmm. over the last couple of years.
And his ability to sell his plan to these athletes before they've had a chance to see it on the field.
Because it's understandable to think, like, if you're 18 years old and you're deciding on where you're going to go play college football, like, think about what an 18 year old has seen from Auburn football.
Oh goodness. Do I have to?
You saw it too, Bill. You were there.
From the time they've been, out of
2020.
Yeah.
Like, think about, like, that's
no, yeah, I'm talking from the time they've been out of middle school, it hasn't been pretty.
Yeah. And so to be able to, now they've also seen the crowds and the atmosphere and the excitement, and they've seen some pretty significant players choose Auburn out of high school, but yet you haven't seen, like, you're doing this with players that have not seen the Auburn football that older fans and maybe their coaches and older players and family members and stuff, like, what those folks know Auburn can be, like, it's and I guess there's probably similarities to what Alex Golish had to do at Tennessee.
No question about that. When that's he arrived. Exactly what had to be done at Tennessee.
Because you think about probably the 6 or 7 years before Golish and Heupel showed up at Tennessee, a lot of the same. Like, they tried to find the right coaches. They still had that fan support, but it was, I mean, it wasn't gonna last forever if he didn't start winning.
No. The fan support was there, but. They were pretty tired of it. 334-321-1390. We'll get one more call before we get to our final break of the afternoon. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Missed the first hour. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Mitch.
Did you guys talk any about the College World Series, your predictions or anything between Oklahoma and UNC?
Yeah, we did briefly. It's tough to pick against Oklahoma the way they're playing now.
Yeah, that's true. I'm probably gonna have to lean a little UNC. That's where my wife went to school.
Oh, so, I understand that.
How about two Jordan schools in the College World Series championship? By the way, there's only four or five Jordan brand schools in college athletics: Florida, Oklahoma, Michigan, and North Carolina. Maybe there's a fifth. But I think it's maybe those four, and you've got the last two basketball national champions,
yeah,
and you're going to have the champion in college baseball.
Right. Wow. Okay. Your new job, Dan. My uncle listens to that station quite a bit because it plays jazz, and he's a jazz guy. So that's great for you, man.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah, I've heard from some folks who love the music on WVAS, enjoy the NPR content as well, and I want to do a good job for a lot of the folks been listening for a long time. I know I want to extend a thank you to folks listening here, because I know that there have been some new listeners to the station as well, and that's very flattering and very cool. But yeah, it's a station that plays a lot of neat music, and I'm excited to join the fray.
Okay, well, if I remember, I might get on the web and listen to you and see how you sound and everything. But so, are you going to commute?
I'm living in Auburn right now and making the drive to Alabama State every day, and I'll might reevaluate that depending on how things go, but for now I'm my parents live in Montgomery, so it gives me a chance to see them a little bit more often too, and the area around. Okay. I've spent a little bit of time. I worked in downtown Montgomery briefly when I first moved back, but this is the most time I've spent in and around the Capitol and the ASU area. Some I tell you what, Bill, it's a pretty good place to eat.
Oh yes, you're not kidding about that.
You can eat all right. In the immediate area of downtown of ASU, but it's been really cool so far, Mitch.
Okay, but you still don't know what your future is with Troy women's basketball.
Not sure yet. You know, I've talked to him about it. What I would guess is that the likelihood that I'm going to travel with the likelihood that I'm going to be able to travel is in question. Like, it's in doubt just because of how much time I would probably have to miss. But at the same time, I can do a lot of my duties remotely. You know, if the right people sign off on it and agree, and there's different possibilities.
All right, man. Well, good luck, and hope to hear you soon.
Thanks, Mitch. Guys. Appreciate it.
Take care, Mitch.
Always enjoyed hearing from our good buddy down in Northwest Florida.
Need to get to our final break of the afternoon of the week. And Clay, hang on. You'll be up in our final segment here on the Friday Drive.
It's bass boat season again.
ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes here on the Friday drive. Jackson Coivin still hanging in there. He is right at the projected cut of plus four, and not the only news about Auburn athletes.
Yeah, very cool that a pair of stars from the Auburn women's tennis team are headed to New York for the U.S. Open later this year. DJ Bennett and Ava Esposito won the USTA American Collegiate Wildcard Playoff last night in Orlando, and they're going to be playing in doubles at the U.S. Open later this year in Flushing, New York.
That is great. Congratulations to them. Let's get to Clay while we still have a little time here on the Friday drive. Hey, Clay.
Dan, I'm going to miss you, buddy.
Thanks,
Clay. And it takes me 10 minutes to say hello, so it's going to be hard to get everything in that I was going to try to say. But in the radio business, there's people like Barry McKnight, Jim Fife, Doug Amos. There's all these people, Bill Cameron, who I have met and run across several times, but he does not know me. He wouldn't know me. He couldn't pick me out of a lineup.
If you talked, but I would.
Feel like you probably would know my voice. But we feel like we know y'all, and y'all become like part of our family. Us that are obsessed with sports radio or just talk radio in general. And we're really going to miss you, but I'm glad, you know, that you're going on the next step of your journey. And I just want to say it's been a joy over the last couple of years since we've partnered with y'all from the Montgomery station here to get to know you over the radio. And I appreciate your honesty and you're not a homer. And even though you're a UCLA fan, I still really like you.
Thank you so much, Clay. I really do appreciate it.
Dan, take us out.
Oh, guys, thanks for everything. I will talk to you soon. Dan Peck from WVAS signing off. For Bill Cameron and Drew Forehand, good night.
This summer, we make HVAC history.